Now would you turn to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 and to verse 38, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Amen. Life is really a series of choices. Every day we're faced with choices that will affect how we feel at the end of that day. Sometimes those choices are trivial and insignificant, what we eat, what we wear, where we should go. But sometimes those decisions are highly significant and will affect us and our families for years to come. But experience shows that it's not only the big decisions that alter our lives dramatically. Sometimes the small choices, the little decisions, the insignificant selections can have massive consequences. I was reading a story about a businessman who was flying out to an important business meeting. And just as he was about to board the plane, it was announced over the PA system that there was a telephone call for him at the information desk. He ignored it at first, thinking that he would miss the plane if he responded to it. While he was debating in his mind whether or not he should go, another announcement came through, and thinking it was important, he left the queue and went to the information desk. He was infuriated when he discovered that it was his wife telling him that he had forgotten his mobile phone. And he missed the plane. He was forced to return home, seething with resentment towards his wife. Then news filtered back that there had been a crash and everyone on that plane had been killed. Little choice with significant consequences. And many choices are like that, little choices that have big consequences. And that can be true of us spiritually. The choices that we make, even the little choices that we make, can affect us greatly, indeed eternally. Now, in the passage that we're looking at this evening, we see Mary and Martha, two sisters, making two different choices. In verse 42, Jesus himself tells us that Mary made the better choice. Mary has chosen the good portion, or Mary has chosen what is better, as the NIV says. Now, if Mary chose what is better, then Martha chose what was worse. And we want to examine those choices, the choices of these two sisters, but we want to do so from the perspective of Martha rather than Mary. And I want you to notice three things. First of all, the choice that Martha faced. Look at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, we know from John's Gospel that Martha, her sister Mary, and their little brother Lazarus lived at Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem. Jesus enjoyed hospitality at that home on more than one occasion. It was like a little oasis where he could enjoy the comforts and the company of a family for a short respite. Now, it was in that home that Mary made the better choice, and Martha, if not the worst choice, certainly the lesser choice. In verse 39, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the teaching of Jesus, while Martha is busy with the domestic duties that were associated with hospitality. Now, sometimes commentators have a lot of sympathy for Martha, and they put the choice that she made down to temperament and gifting. That's J.C. Ryle's interpretation. He says, "Grace reigned in both their hearts, but that grace manifested itself in different ways. With Mary, it manifested itself in devotion, and with Martha, it manifested itself in service." Now, it's not often that I disagree with J.C. Ryle, But I do think he's wrong in that particular point. Basically, what he is saying is that Martha was a server and Mary was a thinker. That Martha was the one that served and Mary was the one that worshipped. That Martha was active and Mary was more contemplative. That Martha was a doing person and Mary was a devotional person. That Martha was a worker and Mary was a worshipper. Now, I think that's quite wrong. Sure, we all have different temperaments and different gifts, but Jesus makes it clear that Mary chose what was better. It was not just a question of temperament. Martha failed and sinned in that she didn't choose the right thing. Now, let's think about the choice that Martha made. We've got to understand that the choice that she made wasn't easy. If you could look into Martha's mind, we would see a number of pressures coming to bear. There was something which needed to be done. She had a responsibility to do it, and no one else, it seems, was willing to do it. So there was something that needed to be done. Look at verse 38 again. As they went on their way. Notice the use of the plural. As they went on their way. Who are the they? Well, it has been suggested that the 12 disciples were there, that Jesus was there, that Mary and Martha were there. Perhaps Lazarus was there since he's not mentioned in the text. That's 16 people. 16 people for dinner. 16 people who needed to be fed and watered, who had to be made comfortable and provided for. Did she have to borrow cups from the neighbors, buy extra provisions from the market, borrow seats from the synagogue? Things needed to be done. They had to be done. And she had no choice but to do them. Not only was there something that needed to be done, but she felt it was her responsibility to do it. Do you notice the wording of verse 38? Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. It was her house. It seems the parents were dead. Lazarus must have still been a minor. And Mary was the younger sister. So Martha was the head of this family. And as the head of this family, it was her responsibility to extend the hospitality. It was all right for Mary to sit and listen. She hadn't the ultimate burden and the ultimate responsibility. But the buck stopped with Martha. She had to do it. It had to be done. She had a responsibility to do it. And thirdly, there was nobody else would do it. Nobody else was willing to do it. No one else was going to help. Mary wasn't going to move. The disciples were the guests, and Lazarus, if he was there, was a typical man who was useless in the kitchen anyway. And Martha felt that if it was going to be done, if this meal was going to be a success, she had to do it. So it had to be done. It was her responsibility to do it, and no one else was willing to do it. But it's important for us to understand that although she was under great pressure, that in spite of the need and her responsibility and the fact that there was no one else to do it, she still made a bad choice. She still made the wrong choice. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now that word distracted, cumbered, says the Authorized Version, means to be pulled in different direction. It was used of someone or something that is pulled or dragged away. And the implication is that Martha wanted to listen to. She is in and out of the kitchen or the courtyard, fetching, carrying, and setting out. And every now and then she walks past the room in which the disciples are seated, and she hears something interesting from the lips of Jesus. And she kind of lingers and hovers and as she's setting the table, but then the kettle boils. The timer goes off. The potatoes boil over, and she's in a dilemma. She wants to sit. She wants to listen. She wants to learn, but there's so many other things to do, and she is totally distracted. She's like the pussycat in the nursery rhyme. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you do there? I saw a mouse under the chair. He didn't see the throne. He didn't see the scepter. He didn't see the crown. He didn't see the Queen. All he saw was the mice under the chair. And that's like Martha. She was so focused on these other things that she forgot the most important thing, or rather the most important person, that the Lord himself was there giving teaching. The choice that Martha faced. Secondly, notice the anger that Martha felt. The consequences that Martha experienced in making the wrong choice were serious. We find her angry, and in that state of irritability, she says things that shouldn't be said. We might say she's out of sorts. She's not herself. She's not her normal, gracious self. Notice firstly, she's angry in herself. Notice the words of Jesus in verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. The Authorized Version says careful and troubled. That word troubled means upset or bothered. It's a very strong word in Greek. It means to be thrown into uproar. It means that you're about to explode. It's used of a rumbling volcano just before the eruption. Martha was seething with anger. The root of bitterness had sprung up within her. She is angry. And as James warns us, the anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Notice, not only is she angry in herself, but she's angry with her sister. You see that in verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell that lazy lump to get off her backside and give me a hand. Now you can imagine the build up to this. Notice the text carefully. My sister has left me to serve alone. In other words, initially Mary did help. It's not that she didn't do anything. She had busied herself in the kitchen also, had been to the market and set the table. But when all those preparations were made and Jesus began his teaching, she sat at his feet to listen to her teaching. Everything, as far as she was concerned, had been done. But it was Martha fretting and fussing beyond the normal responsibilities of hospitality that led to her resentment. Martha becomes angry with her sister. You can just imagine how she communicated her frustration. She would rattle and bang the pots. She would close the door abruptly. She would huff and puff and exhale her breath every now and then. The husbands will know exactly what I mean. Just think of how your wife communicates her irritation with you. You know, she becomes exceedingly noisy and demanding at that particular point. And she's making you a cup of tea, but the kettle isn't just set on the ring or the little thing. It's banged on it, and the cups are taken out and banged on the sideboard. And then eventually she explodes, and she says, tell her to help me. Martha is resentful and jealous, even bitter towards her sister. So she's angry in herself, she's angry with her sister, and thirdly, and more significantly, she is angry with the Lord. Notice again verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Martha is angry with herself, she is angry with her sister, but she's also angry with the Lord. Her grievance is not simply against Mary, but it's against Jesus. She blames him for allowing this situation to arise. Do you notice the accusatory tone in the voice? Lord, do you not care? Don't you care about me and my sensitivities and how I feel and the fact that I can't sit like her and listen? Lord, don't you care? What a terrible thing to say to Jesus. It's a bit like the accusation that the disciples made in the boat during the storm of the Sea of Galilee when they wake him and they say, Lord, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? What a terrible thing to say to Jesus. The fact that he was in the boat, the fact that he was in the house, the fact that he was in the world was because he did care. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The very reason he was going to Jerusalem was to lay down his life in order to purchase their salvation. Of course he cared. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Why was he there? Why was he in the home? He was there because he cared. But you see, when we neglect our relationship with God, we become angry, not only with ourselves and not only with others, but sometimes we become angry with the Lord. We want to tell him what we want him to do. We want to give him orders. Lord, why don't you do this, Lord? Why don't you do that, Lord? Why do you not do what I say? You see the contrast there. Here is Mary humbly seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, to his instruction. And there is Martha standing over the Lord, trying to tell him what to do. She was angry in herself, she was angry with others, and she is angry with God. Anybody allowed anger to consume them? And jealousy to overtake them, for bitterness to grow within them. Angry, not just with yourself and frustrated with yourself, but angry with others because they didn't do exactly what you wanted them to do. Or even with the Lord himself because he doesn't do specifically what you want him to do. The anger Martha felt. So the choice that Martha faced, the anger Martha felt, and the third thing I want you to notice is the reason Martha failed. Do you ever find yourself wanting to say to someone, what's your problem? You know, somebody is out of sorts and they're communicating that they're out of sorts by banging the kettle and banging the cupboard doors. And you want to say, well, what's bugging you? What's your problem? Why are you behaving like that? Well, that's what we want to do this evening. That's how we want to end this evening. We want to say to Martha, what's bugging you? What's your problem? What's wrong with you? Unfortunately, we're left in no doubt what's wrong with Martha because Jesus himself diagnoses Martha's problem in verses 41 and 42. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Here Jesus rebukes Martha, and he does so in the tenderness of terms. The repetition of the names is an indication in Semitic culture of love and affection. Remember David's reaction when he heard of the death of Absalom. Absalom, Absalom, O my son Absalom, would to God that I had died instead of you. Or Jesus' words to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that you may, that your faith will not utterly fail. Or the words of the Lord to Paul on the Damascus Road, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? There is feeling, there is tenderness, there is emotion here. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Mary made the better choice. She chose the one thing that was better than everything else. And where Mary succeeded, Martha failed. Mary chose what was better, and Martha chose what was worse. And by contrasting Martha with Mary, we can see why Martha failed. And Martha failed for three reasons. She failed because she neglected the Word of God. She failed because she didn't give priority to the things of God. And she failed because she didn't evaluate her choices in the light of an eternity with God. So first of all, then, Martha failed to make the right choice because she neglected the Word of God. Jesus says to Martha, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. What is that one thing that was needed? What was that one thing that was more important than anything else, that was more important than even Martha's service? Well, what was Mary doing? And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The one thing that was needed, the thing that was more important than anything else, the thing that Martha neglected was listening to instruction from Jesus. That's where Martha failed. She neglected the Word of God, the one thing that was necessary. Martha is a classic example of someone who puts service to God above a relationship with God. And it manifested itself in her attitude, the anger that she felt, the angry anger that she had for her sister, and the fact that she was angry with the Lord. You see, listening to the Word of God is crucial to our spiritual health. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That the most important thing, the one thing that is necessary, the one thing that is needed is instruction from God himself. Remember Paul's words in Romans chapter 12. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love the way J.B. Phillips puts that. He says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but rather be transformed. And how am I to be transformed? I'm to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by truth entering the intelligence, not by shivers at the spine, not by tingles in the fingers, but a grasp of truth that transforms me into the person that I should be. Remember in John 17, Jesus prays to his Father for his disciples, and he prays for their sanctification, and he says, sanctify them by the truth. And then he adds, your word is truth, that the agent for transformation is the Word of God. You remember that lovely picture in Psalm 1, that the righteous man is like a tree planted by streams of water. And the tree then puts its roots deep down into the moist ground. And in contrast to the trees that are at a distance from the river, it draws on the moisture and the nourishment of the river, and then its leaf does not wither, and it brings forth its fruit in season. What's that an illustration of? That the man of God delights himself in the law, and on his law he meditates day and night. Spiritual fruitfulness comes from imbibing and absorbing the Word of God. Martha was cranky and crabbed, awkward and difficult, because she did not listen to the instruction of Jesus. Now, it's simple, but it's so simple that we miss it. That spiritual fruitfulness comes from embracing and imbibing the Word of God, saturating ourselves with the Word of God. It's so simple. Here's the formula. The Word of God, time, equals spiritual fruitfulness. Every person I have ever met who is spiritually struggling, every pastor or missionary that I have ever known who has failed morally, every church member who lives inconsistently has this in common. They have neglected instruction from the Word of God. It's like teaching your granny to suck eggs. You all know this. Martha was very busy for the Lord, but she neglected spending time with the Lord, and she suffered spiritually. So that's the first thing. That's the most important thing. She failed because she neglected the Word of God. Secondly, she failed because she didn't give priority to the things of God. Now, remember we said at the beginning, Martha was under a lot of pressure. Things needed to be done. It was her responsibility to do them. And no one else, it seemed, was going to do them. But the point that Jesus makes here is that there was something more important than those duties. And that was listening to the Word of God, to the Word of Christ. It was a question of priorities. Martha had to choose between what was important and what was more important. And unfortunately, she made the wrong choice. One commentator says discipleship is about knowing what is important and putting first things first. Now, we are all busy. We're all busy. We all have busy lives. We have so many pressures put upon us with work, family, church as well. But there is one thing that must take priority, and that is listening to the Word of God. There's a famous anthropologist in America who carried out a survey with a number of people and discovered that most people, to accomplish all that they want to accomplish in a day, would need a 32-hour day. 32 hours, he says, and we would get it all done. Well, would you? Would you get it all done in 32 hours? I think we would still struggle to finish the day, feeling that we've done all that needs to be done. And the thing is then, the only way we can do this is to prioritize. And Jesus says to Martha, you need to prioritize the Word. You need to prioritize the teaching that I give. Now, I find this, as a pastor, tremendously comforting. Sometimes I feel that I have 101 things to do, none of which I think I do particularly well. I just haven't enough hours in the day and days in the week. But what is the most important thing? What does Ballymena Baptist Church need more than anything else from me for its spiritual health? Well, I would suggest to you that what Ballymena Baptist needs from me more than anything else is the Word of God. I must prioritize. I must give my attention to the Word of God. Well, what about you? What are your priorities? Well, family, that's a great priority. You need to care for your family. You need to instruct your family. You need to teach your family. You need to catechize your family. You need to do those things. What about your work in the church? Well, that's important. The church wouldn't function unless there was a band of willing workers willing to do what needs to be done. What about your financial security? What about your work? Well, all those things are important. But the most important thing, the most important thing is giving yourself to hearing the Word of God, because it's in hearing the Word of God that spiritual fruitfulness will come. So can I give you a list of priorities, spiritual priorities? Come to church. I think that's important. You'll not prosper on the fringes of the church. Come in the morning, Sunday morning, come to church. Come in the evening. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here. Come in the evening. Because we need the Word of God twice. Twice. A double dose. It's certainly not going to do you any harm. And perhaps it'll do you some good. Come on a Tuesday to, to the Bible study. Come to the prayer and care groups. Give yourself to those things. Now, not at the expense of your family, and not at the expense of the other work that you do in the church, but sometimes you need to say, well, that other work in the church is important, but it's not as important as sitting under the Word of God. The reasons Martha failed, because she neglected the Word of God, because she didn't give priority to the things of God. And then thirdly, Martha failed to make the right choice because she didn't evaluate her choice in the light of an eternity with God. Notice how the chapter ends. Verse 42, Jesus said to Martha about Mary, which will not be taken away from her. Which will not be taken away from her. Now, there are two ways of taking that. Jesus maybe is saying, I'm not going to stop her listening because she has chosen what is better. And that's a valid interpretation. But the construction is an unusual one. And it may be that Jesus is saying more than that. He may be saying that the choice that she made has eternal implications and eternal consequences. And that will not be taken away from her. And the blessings and benefits that she derived from the Word of God would remain with her. Our spiritual health has eternal consequences. When we get to eternity and look back on our lives, what will really matter? What will really count? What will we consider to be of real value to us? It will be our relationship with Christ, our response to His Word, and our witness in the world. It will be the spiritual things that count. It will be the spiritual things that matter. Now, when faced with a choice, a decision, the need to fix a priority, we must ask ourselves, and what really matters? What has lasting consequences? What has eternal consequences? And it has to be, my relationship to Christ and my subjection to His Word. What really matters when it comes to eternity is our relationship to God. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, says Jesus, and lose his own soul? Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, speaks of a day when the wood, hay, and stubble will all be burnt up. But that individual will be, and gold, silver, and precious stones remain, but that individual whose the wood, hay, and stubble is burnt up, he's saved. But as one escaping through the flames, he's saved by the skin of his teeth. Well, I don't want to be saved by the skin of my teeth. I want to hear those words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. Not saved as one passing through the flames, not saved by the skin of my teeth, but having a life lived for the glory of God, and a life that counts for eternity. What is the most important thing? What was the one thing that Martha neglected? She neglected listening to the instruction of Jesus. Amen.